Sasageyo. We are the Otaku Host Club podcast.
Sasageyo.
Okay, yay. Yes. You want to interject? Okay. And welcome to The Road to Paradise, our weekly Attack on Titan final season discussion episode. I am Amelia, and as always, I'm joined here with the boys, Jeff and Dan. Say hi, guys.
Sasageyo!
Sasageyo!
If I'm a little weird in this episode, we're recording late today, and I'm already three White Claws deep, so let's go, baby. I'm ready.
So the number one question of this episode, Onyakapon, why are you black?
What? Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
He's black.
Go on.
He's bald.
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Oh my god, I wanted to bring this up later because I was like, damn, Sasha, you can't be asking people that.
It is kind of fascinating because it really brings into perspective the fact that these people have lived on a remote island in solitude and there's no diversity there. Like they ain't never seen a black person before. That's, ever. Yeah, you know?
That's weird.
It's like they're real Japanese.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Damn. Yo. Ayo. Oh. Okay, anyway, this episode we're talking about episode 68 or Brave Volunteers. And guys, we have finally made it to paradise.
Yes.
We made it back to the islands.
This covers bits and pieces of the manga chapters 106 and 107.
I'm kind of
under the impression that a lot of these episodes, as we've seen, a lot of the episodes draw from different bits and pieces of the manga and reorders the sequence of storytelling, for better or for worse.
I would also say that maybe it's only two chapters because this is basically just a Sasha appreciation post. You know, Mappa was all like, we killed the best girl, but here you go. Here's some more after the fact, just to make you even sadder.
Yeah, but I think they did not properly appreciate Sasha because in the manga, and I desperately tried to look this up before we started recording, in the manga, they do much more to flesh out the relationship between Niccolo and Sasha. And it is so much more impactful in the manga when Sasha dies and you see Niccolo's reaction to this is kind of bridging the gap between the Marley and Eldian people, and that ray of hope has been blacked out. And
yeah, I don't know if personal chefs really get that attached to their people that they're cooking for, but you know,
if you're Sanji from One Piece, you do.
Oh, okay.
Truth.
Well, this is a One Piece, but
yeah, it ain't One Piece, that's for sure. Ain't nothing One Piece.
Oh damn.
But in the anime they demonstrate that clearly Sasha appreciates Niccolo's cooking and Niccolo appreciates Sasha's eating, but in the manga they do a lot more to show how the two of them have an intimate relationship. And the way I remember it is that they were engaged in the manga, and that Niccolo was Sasha's fiance, but I couldn't find evidence of that on the internet, and I didn't go back and reread the manga, so I might just be remembering that wrong. But
someone come in the Discord and tell us if we're wrong or not.
Yeah, somebody that remembers the manga more clearly, it'd be great if you could chime in and clarify that point. Because I think it's an important one, and it's a shame that it kind of gets glossed over the anime version.
Mm-hmm.
I do love watching Sasha eat though.
Oh my gosh, actually it's really funny. Sasha is, that's like real-time footage of me when I was a child and we would vacation in Maine. We would go to this one lobster spot and all the waitresses love me and they would just keep bringing me out lobster.
Nice.
So, yes, I relate so much to Sasha in this episode. Like, oh my hell gosh, yeah. Girl, that was me eating them lobsters when I was 4 or 5 years old, baby.
There's some big ass lobsters.
I know, right?
Yeah,
Madagascar lobster.
We were just talking about Promised Neverland before we hit record, and there's a scene, no spoilers necessarily, but there's fish involved.
Yeah, which I also don't remember being in the manga. So,
first time for everything. Seafood is delicious.
Seafood is delicious, except for crab. Just saying.
You don't like crab?
Nah. Nah,
now fam. I'm a little bit of Old Bay on there.
Nah, fam. No, a lot of work with no reward.
What about crab cakes?
Nah. They're just, like, okay, so don't get me, so, you know, like, I feel like everyone should know by now, but I love butter. That's, like, one of my favorite foods.
So, apparently, they cut out a lot of the interaction between the Marleyan scouts that arrived on Paradise and the Eldians. In the manga, I think there's more explanation as to all the different technologies and why, you know, more displaying of how they are building new infrastructure. They're building a port, you know, they're building railroads and stuff. They kind of hint at that in the anime, but they demonstrate and show the progress a lot more in the manga, because, you know, the anime is flashbacking over the course of 3 years, you know. So we have 3 years of infrastructure that's getting built. You know, they're building, they got 3 years to build a port. We see a little bit of this, but there's not a lot of discussion about it in the way that there is in the manga. You know, prior to this, like, these people have never even seen seafood. It's not like they fucking think about boats and ports and shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, they build that blimp or do they steal it from the last episode?
Stole it.
Stolen.
Yeah, must have.
They say, skirt, skirt!
Like, your technology doesn't take that huge of a turn, right, in the last 3 years. That they could just build a blimp.
And yeah, I will say that I was right and wrong, because in the last episode I was like, is everyone on the boat in cahoots with Zeke? But it's actually just, yeah, what's her name? Damn it, I forget. Yelena and Onyakupan. But I was like, okay, so I think that Yelena and Onyakupan are in cahoots with each other.
Yeah, and I mean, it's more than just the two of them specifically. They got a whole faction. Mm-hmm.
But on that, in this specific episode is where
we're introduced to these two.
Yeah, and where you find out that everyone on the ship wasn't part of Zeke's followers or whatever.
Yeah.
But that they were just, like, led there by those two.
Yeah, and Yelena's really got, like, she's orgasmically vibing with Zeke. You know, when she reflects on Zeke and thinks about their meeting, she's like,
yeah. Oh yeah, her pants are definitely wet.
Yeah, yeah, she's getting, yeah, but
she getting juicy up in there,
very moist. Yeah, but I'm one angle of this that is not thoroughly explained.
Jeff's laughing at us right now, and it's because I have had three white claws. Sorry, guys.
they have not explained very well. Just, you know, so now we know that, okay, they're part of the Zeke faction. They have bought into Zeke's worldview and his plan for what needs to happen next. And the plan appears to be, from their perspective, a little bit of the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? Like, they hate the Marleyans for dominating and taking over their countries and forcing them into the military. And they, by connection, have decided they are allies of the Eldians. And if they, you know, liberate the Eldians, that will, you know, destroy Marley, and destroying Marley is really their end goal. So that makes sense to me. What I'm confused about is how did they get introduced to Zeke, and what was the mechanics of Zeke selling them on his worldview? I don't think that really gets explained in the manga either. They just tell you, like, oh, we're the Zeke faction. Yeah, but why? Like, did Zeke just walk up to you guys and be like, man, sucks you guys got taken over. Hey, don't tell anybody, but I got a plan to fucking wreck my country. You know, like, it's how did that come up?
I'm sure we'll get precisely placed flashbacks in the next episode about that.
I am not so sure, because I don't think this was actually talked about in the manga either. Mm. But, you know, that's okay. And this is appropriate anime logic, you know, so it's all right.
Yeah. I like how the conch sort of acts as a framing device, and Armin's just holding it, talking through the whole episode, recounting everything, like, oh, if I had made this decision, if we made this choice, choose a different path, then maybe we could have saved Sasha and we wouldn't have lost people. Yeah. You know? Yeah, but we also learn why didn't Marley attack again after their first attempt? And what was the girl's name with the short hair?
Yelena.
She says, oh, it's because, you know, there's too many Titans wandering around. It would have impeded the land attack. Which makes sense. Yeah. But then she realizes, oh, they just killed all of them.
Yeah, and she seems really blown away by that.
Wow, very impressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that tracks with Galliard in the last episode or two and his reaction to, wow, the scout regiment is totally unfazed by Titans. And, you know, they're, brave people.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of Aaron's whole persona? That it seems like his role is growing out his hair.
Yeah, he's now becoming tying it back. Yeah. And the flashback stuff of Aaron and Armin and Mikasa talking at the shooting range, and Aaron kind of makes the point that there's no way forward except through violence, that even the kind of pacifism that Armin is espousing requires violence to build the space to have that pacifism in the first place. Otherwise you're just, you know, getting beat up all the time. So I thought that was kind of an interesting philosophical quandary. I thought that was really good. And I, you know, knowing what happens in the manga, you know, when Aaron puts his hair back, you know, that's Aaron 2.0, man. Like, now we're in that real shit. We're going to see what happens in the next episode, because he's done. He ain't taking no bullshit anymore.
Oh, he turns more savage.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to see. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see Aaron's descent into deranged Aaron 2.0.
Yeah, and I like it. I'm ready too. I like this, like, kind of ever present nihilism.
Yeah,
you know, that's one of the things I really like about Attack on
Titan. Not necessarily in real life, but in anime, yes.
Yeah.
He's turning into Mikazuki. He's got a pistol waiting on his hip.
Yeah, I guess, I guess he kind of is. But, you know, when you say it like that, you know, I don't know, it makes me, on the one hand, I think that Aaron is a very well-written character. But on the other hand, like, Mikazuki is a fucking psychopath because of childhood trauma. And arguably, Aaron has childhood trauma, too.
Yeah.
He
just doesn't have a gun in his hand, that's all.
Is that really the difference?
potentially, I don't know. He can just bite his hand and turn into a ravenous monster. Because
Aaron's character progression has been kind of a slow burn. Like, he was not a fucking psycho in season one. And he wasn't really that much of a psycho. He, like, starts to get more psycho-like in season two, but that's just because he's angry at Bert Holton, right?
He's just an angry boy. He just wants to take his angry out on someone.
I don't think we really see the, like, full blown nihilistic Aaron until season four. It's a big shift.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we kind of see it in season three at the end.
We also see the children in their prison cell, and what's his face? Zeke is going to his hotel, his little inn in the jungle.
Because Aaron, monkey.
Yes, Levi's like, oh, you'll love it here. There's plenty of trees. It's perfect for you.
Oh, man. Levi, man, I'm loving all of the screen time he is getting. He's got some great one-liners here. You know, like when the Marlians come aboard the island, he says, welcome to the filthy island of filthy devils. You're going to love it here. Like,
yeah.
Hope you like piss. What did you say? I hope you like pig.
Only if you like pig.
Cow piss or something.
Pig piss. Like, what?
Yeah.
Levi's amazing. I'm gonna say yeah. Every episode.
But I actually thought Hongi's you know, friendliness, jovialness was way more interesting. You know, if
it's
my
quite comical.
If I were on that Marlian ship, I totally would have been like, yeah, let's fucking chill out, man.
I just ordered a statue figure of Levi, but now I'm kind of regretting.
No,
I mean of
Mikasa.
Was it Mikasa? I don't even know what I bought.
Oh my god! Yeah,
I pre-ordered this figure. It was Mikasa. And I got it. Now I gotta get Levi.
You gotta get. Yeah, you do. Can I just like? I just want to know why the Marlians keep calling these people devils if they also wield titans. I'm so confused.
The Marlians don't wield titans.
The Eldians then.
Yeah, why do some Eldians hate the like why do the mainland Eldians hate the Paradise Island Eldians?
No, that's not it. Why do they keep calling them devils when they themselves are wielding these devils? That they are calling devils. Like, I'm so confused that, like, you're calling these titans on paradise devils, but, like, you literally are just gonna, like, turn around and be like, yeah, yo, Zeke, what up, boy? Can you come get this for me? Like,
yeah, I find that confusing, though. I think that's just, like, the weird.
I'm like, how is that the weird double devil standards different from this devil that you know? Like,
Well, like, it's not, but I think that's quite common, you know, when it comes to how we think about racism and think about. Yeah, race relations as a whole, you know, to both loathe a group of people, but also like utilize them when convenient. You know, I think we see a lot of examples of that in real life too.
I guess I didn't think about it in that sense. Because they're the same race. But anyway, also, do you see...
The Marlians and Eldians aren't the same race, though.
No, but the Eldians are the ones that have both the Titans. The Eldians are Titans.
Yeah, yeah. So the Titans
are the same race.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, like, if you're an Eldian and you're the Eldian that's fighting with the Marlian army wielding the Titans, why are you calling these people over here that are the same race as you that are also Titans, like, devils? That's what confuses me.
I might step out of my lane on this one, so I apologize in advance if this sounds.
We can edit it out.
Yeah, but I think it's the same way that like, it's an issue of respectability politics, right? That like, in the same way that people of color in. Higher socioeconomic classes frown upon, you know, people of color in lower socioeconomic classes, even though, you know, because it's complicated, you know, and this is the way that, like, you know, if you're constantly told over and over again, like if you're an Eldian, if you're a person of color in the U.S., you're constantly told that, like, well, the Marlians, you know, are the good people and the right people, and you really want to strive to be like this. So if you don't sync up correctly with that, then you're seen as lesser than, right? So like if you are an Eldian living in the ghetto, I think we see the same thing in Baltimore in a lot of ways, right?
Well, like if you are the people on paradise of a lower economic status than the Eldians.
No, but it's the same principle, you know. Okay. It's the idea that the normalcy, you know, the Marlians, you know, white mainstream culture in America, the same way that these are put on a pedestal as being the norm and the ideal that everyone is supposed to strive to. So if you branch out in your own direction, you're chastised for this in the same way that, you know, Paradise Island, you know, Eldians who have their own culture and their own way of doing things are the devils, even if they are of the same ethnic group as the, you know, mainland Eldians. You know, mainland Eldians are the good Eldians because they do things the right way, because they do things the Marlian way. But is that by definition the right way? You know, that's just, you know, racism and kind of cultural hegemony.
Mm.
Yeah, they're savages, so to speak. Is a word I think they use. We've used in the past to degrade a certain race,
mm-hmm.
you know. But they're not savages. They're just normal.
Yeah, exactly.
They're completely normal.
That's why I'm confused.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's, you know.
I'm like, they're the same. What do you mean?
I know. Well, yeah, we think about how this plays out in real life, too. And, you know, and basically, I think a lot of Attack on Titan is an allegory about racism.
Yeah, it's a good example of a paradox. And that's, yeah. You know.
Also, Beach, did you see the Colossal Titan's neck in this episode? He's looking like that African tribe that stretches their neck out to be more wealthy.
Yeah, it was a bit of a change in character design there to have his backbone extend out like that.
Yeah, it's not even like Armin's neck is that long in real life.
Yeah, that's true.
I've heard the argument that the author draws the Titans that way to get around proportional issues from lack of drawing knowledge. But bitch, you've been drawing this for a very long time now. But you ain't good at it yet.
Yeah. Well, I think there's definitely a noticeable difference. I don't know if you noticed it, Stan, because you've read the whole thing, right? In one sitting.
He read the fourth season.
Yeah. Fourth season. That's right. Okay.
Because
I remember the artwork. When I first looked at the manga in Attack on Titan, I was like, what the fuck is this? Who drew this?
Oh my gosh.
Signed up for art class to draw this shit?
Yeah, I want to look at it.
The art that came out from the season looks a lot better. Like the guy obviously improved tenfold.
Yeah. And Jeff has merit in saying that because literally Jeff can draw a perfect figure from like. From a half reference, he can just fill in the blanks. That's how talented he is. But yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was always jealous.
I'm blushing.
Yeah, I was always jealous.
Okay, so shall we give our final thoughts?
Sure. I don't know what mine are.
Yeah, I'm kind of ambivalent.
I'm kind of just like, what is this episode? Half of it was like, half of it was a flashback to when the Eldians came to Paradise Island for the first time and what happened to their ships, which is like, yeah. We all wanted to know like how the ships were being lost at sea or whatever. Here we go. We got a flashback. Wham, bam. Thank you. And also, here's some more Sasha. It was really sad. Go cry in your room now. Bye. So I don't know what to feel.
Well, I give this episode a 10 out of 10 just because I thought it was interesting the whole way through. You know, I thought the Sasha stuff was emotionally compelling and the kind of lore building from the Marlians and the Eldians interacting with each other, I thought was really interesting. Yeah. Another solid episode.
I'm very critical of this just because I don't know. Watching it weekly, I just like feel like I only want to point out the flaws, but I am having a great time. Like this is like what I live for. Like I do like Attack on Titan. Like I do like the fourth season. They're just like I was just breaking it apart, you know.
Yeah.
If there's another three episodes of this style of pacing, will it start to annoy you again, Amelia?
Absolutely.
I'm wondering how if this is like just a, this is going to be a cycle of sorts, like, you know,
two episodes of action and then like four episodes of just fucking talking and flashbacks. Like that would be super annoying, and I would kind of like question like where the direction is for the season at this point. Like if that's like the what's going to happen, because we're already halfway through. Like this is the halfway, right? Mm-hmm. Or like last season, last episode, whichever, we're halfway through. So like come on boys, what are we doing? Let's shit or get off the pot here.
Like, yeah, on the one hand, I feel like there's no way they're gonna finish this in the allotted time. Mm-hmm. So there must be like a movie or a second course.
But on the other hand,
as we talk about what they've done to the Promised Neverland, now I feel like, man, all bets are off. Maybe they're just gonna fucking shut it down immediately.
That's what my gripe is with series that are TV up until a certain point and then get made into movies. That's like my point. Like if
Well, they're making
this
more...
is the final season. This is the fucking final season. What do you mean? There should, if it was part one, you should have said part one in the beginning. I don't like being told one thing and then like getting another. Yeah. Like, true. If it's part one, it's part one. Tell me up front.
True.
I need a safe word.
We're getting a movie.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Either that or a part two that's like some, like, it's like 18.5 episodes. Because they've got to recap some shit as if we haven't been watching this whole time.
Mm.
What do you think, Jeff?
I like the episode. I didn't hate the episode. I feel like we're going on a good path, and I don't want things to get fucked up. And I haven't been disappointed yet, so I'm like almost hold my breath at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next episode. Like I say, every week, looking forward to it.
It is a really nice Sunday surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. And if you haven't already, go listen to our other Attack on Titan episodes and catch us here every Wednesday for more final season discush. And of course, check out our regularly scheduled bi-weekly episodes on Thursday. This week is for all you Gundam boys out there, because we are talking about Gundam and reviewing Iron-Blooded Orphans.
Ooh.
Yay!
Ooh, yeah.
The ironic bloodied orphans.
Hit us up in our Discord. Links are in the description of wherever you're listening to this on, or on our website, otakuhostclub.com, and on our Instagram at otakuhostclub, or on Twitter at hostotaku. And we'll see you in the next episode.
See you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.